Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
So we have taken this broken concept and we've spiritualized it. And we say, God has that one special person just for you. Really? Let me see if I understand that. You're saying God Almighty created another human being just to make you happy. If that is not the epitome of self-centered, narcissistic thinking, I do not know what is.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, I remember one time I was counseling a married couple who was having trouble resolving conflict. And I asked them how they would describe their marriage at the moment. Well, the wife looked at me right in the eye and she said, "Our marriage stinks." Well, you know what? She was right. Sometimes marriages stink. It can get messy. It can get awkward, and sometimes it's just no fun to feel like the only thing you have in common with your spouse is conflict. Well, today on Homeward, we're going to look at some ways to resolve those conflicts and do a better job of dealing with the messy side of marriage. Joining me in studio is Mark Gunger, and I'm smiling as I say it because he's a funny guy. Mark's a pastor. He's the author of the book Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Not only will he be discussing some of the major differences between men and women, but he'll also be talking about some practical tips for using fun and humor to improve the quality of your marriage. Well, today's show is going to be fun, it's going to be interesting, it's going to be life-changing. It might even be a little controversial, so stay with us because Homeward starts right now. A rather frank observation from Mark Gunger to start off today's edition of the Homeward broadcast. Yeah, it's going to be one of those programs, but as we're gearing up for, this season of love, why not have a conversation about laughter and joy, which are keys to a better marriage and not necessarily trying to find your soulmate. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, you can become a fan of Homeward and APU on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/AzusaPacific/homeward, and you can follow us there and learn more about the school and also the ministry. Speaking of which, now here's Dr. Jim Burns with part one of today's program. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and I'm already laughing, and you haven't even met my guest. His name is Mark Gunger. Keys to a Better Marriage is what we're talking about, and he says laughter and joy are part of that. You know, he's the senior pastor of Celebration Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin, CEO of Laugh Your Way America. That's an organization that helps couples laugh, learn, and develop a better marriage, as well as a brand new television show called Love, Marriage, and Stinking Thinking. You're going to love this guy. Mark, welcome to our program.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Just talking to you before the program, I just go, what a man of joy. You actually say there is no such thing as a poo-free marriage.
This is correct.
What does that mean?
Well, there's a talk about a scripture. Where there is no ox, the Bible says, the stall is clean. What does that mean? It means if you have an ox, you're going to have ox poo, bottom line.
Okay? What does that have to do with marriage?
Well, then he goes on to say, but there's much increase that comes by the strength of the ox. So that's the catch 22. Everybody loves the benefit of the ox,
right.
But nobody likes the poo. But what the Bible's trying to say, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
And there's no such thing as a poo-free marriage. Nobody does this perfectly. Nobody gets it right all the time. People love the benefit of marriage, but then they're upset with the poo that comes along with it, and they get all freaked out. We've got this over-romanticized nonsense in our heads today, particularly women do, where they think that marriage should be this perfect thing or this perfect picture, and when it's not, they freak, they panic, they don't know what to do. How come I'm dealing with this ickiness? Well, we all deal with the ickiness, okay? Now, some of it spirals out of control, I get that, but there's no such thing as a relationship that doesn't have some ickiness that comes with it. That's life.
No, and I appreciate you saying that. Now, you say Debbie and you were childhood sweethearts. And at the same time, you say that a successful marriage is not the result of marrying the right person, feeling the right emotions, thinking the right thoughts, or even praying the right prayers, but it's doing the right thing. How did that happen with you and Debbie?
Well, we just seemed to be succeeding in our relationship because we were doing the right things. We were living out our faith, living out our Christianity. Yeah. But today we've got this ridiculous concept, again, this over-romanticized nonsense. A lot of it's built around this idea of a soulmate, that there's this one cosmic being just for me, which is not based on biblical thinking. It's pagan thinking. It comes from Greek mythology. At one time, the Greeks thought that men and women had four arms, four legs, and some debate as to whether or not we had two heads or one head with two faces, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
And then the God got mad, split us in half. That's how we wound up looking the way that we look today. And our punishment is we have to roam the earth looking for our other half. That's where all this nonsense comes from. It's a pagan concept that if you find the right person, it will be easy. It'll come automatically. Well, the church, instead of thinking biblically, instead of Christianity affecting our culture, we've allowed our culture to affect us, and that's why we have the lousy results that we get. So we have taken this broken concept and we've spiritualized it, and we say God has that one special person just for you. Really? Let me see if I understand that. You're saying God Almighty created another human being just to make you happy. If that is not the epitome of self-centered, narcissistic thinking, I do not know what it is. Go ahead.
There's probably some people who disagree with that.
Oh, there's
obviously.
Tons of them. Are you kidding? This is, it's a hot number. That if we had call-in nines right now, they'd be lit up.
Exactly. You're right. So what you're saying is that you do the right thing, but there could be, you know, more than one person that could actually be your committed marriage relationship.
Here's what the Bible says. The Bible never, ever, 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 in any way, shape, or form, let me know if there is a Bible or verse somewhere on it. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I've lost it. But there's not any place in the Bible that ever talks in marriage in the terms of there's this one special person just for you. All the Bible ever says is make sure that you marry a believer. Why is that? Because the principles of Christianity, the principles we say we believe in, the principles of love, patience, kindness, forgiveness, long-suffering, which, by the way, means suffering for a long time. Right. These biblical principles are so powerful, you could virtually stick any two people in the world and succeed if you live by the principles. That's what the Bible says. God is so powerful. His principles are so powerful. His word is so powerful. You don't have to find one cosmic soul. You got to find someone who believes in those same principles. You find two people who believe them and live them out, you can succeed. But we don't think that today. We think there's got to be this one special person. And if we find that one special person, then it's easy. And then when we find out it's not easy, then we think, well, I made a mistake. It wasn't that one special person. I shouldn't have married this idiot. I should have married the other idiot. And our marriages start falling apart and stuff. Our thinking is not biblical. It is caught up in romantic nonsense that we have spiritualized. And then that's why we get the lousy results that we get. I know people don't agree with me. And like I said, if we were calling in right now, people would be calling in and yelling. Right. But it's like talking to the people on the Titanic.
Yeah.
Who are arguing, what a great ship this is. And I'm going, we're sinking.
Now, here's the deal. I mean, the church holds marriage high regard, yet the divorce rates within the church are virtually the same as those in the rest of America. So the church hasn't, in your opinion, probably done a very good job of helping us do the right thing.
We've done a terrible job. We don't want to, we're Christians. We don't want to do the right thing. We want to pray about it, you know. Well, hello, you need to do. I talk in my book about the laws of relational physics. Mm-hmm. In other words, the laws of physics affect everybody. For example, if you jump off this table, you're going to go down, okay? Doesn't matter if you're a believer. Doesn't matter if you pray this morning. Doesn't matter if you're a heathen. Why? Because it affects everywhere. Well, the laws of relational physics are the same way. You break the laws, you're going to pay the price. But we don't want, you know, it's like if you're driving a car 80 miles an hour around a curve that says 30, you're probably going to get hurt. Even if you're listening to Homeward on a Christian radio station right now. Right. Why? Because the laws of physics still affect you.
Right.
Well, I'm a believer. It doesn't matter. They still affect you. And we want to think that because God loves us and we're blessed, that we don't have to live by rules in life. And that's why we're having the lousy results that we're getting.
That makes a lot of sense. How does a parent teach their children that part of becoming a good spouse one day?
Talk to them about these principles. Live out your Christianity. And so often today, we don't live out our Christianity. I am stunned as I deal with couples. Some of the nicest people in the world, born-again believers, when they get by themselves, are some of the meanest people you can imagine.
Yeah.
It's like we suspend our Christianity. It's like I will be a believer everywhere in the world, in the grocery store, at work, no matter church, no matter whatever it is, except when I get home. When I get home now, I get a get-out-of-jail-free card. I can be mean. I can be nasty. I can yell. I can be impatient. I'm thinking, what right do we think, because we're believers, that we can be mean and nasty to our spouse? It's like, this is ridiculous. We need to live this all the time. And if we will teach our kids this, they will succeed more in life. But we don't do this. We are into the soulmate nonsense. I'm telling you. You know what? A lot of people who are listening to us right now, one of the big popular things today is praying for your little baby spouse.
Right.
Let's pray for that special spouse. What are you doing? It's all about trying to find that one special person out there some way. Stop the nonsense already. If you will teach your kids the right things and live biblically, and they learn how to marry someone who thinks biblically, you don't have to pray for some special cosmic person. You just live out the gospel. That's how powerful the gospel is.
Yeah, it's fascinating, actually. You're disturbing us in a good way, actually. And that, I really appreciate
that. Now I got thousands of people all across America eat my guts.
Not really. I think you're one of the main things on Homewards. We want people to learn to think critically, not negative, but critically.
Critically, yes.
And you're helping us do that in a big way. Now, you talk about laughter and joy. In fact, you've got a book that's called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Talk about the laughter side to this.
Okay, the book isn't really about laughing in your marriage.
Right.
And it's not about small. It's about the learning process.
I laughed at my marriage before.
Yeah.
And I think Kathy has too.
Well, it's either that or cry. What's the alternative, right? So the book is based on my seminar that I do called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Mm-hmm. And if you ever go to it, it's unlike any other seminar you've ever been to, particularly marriage seminar. There's no emotional breakout sessions. There's no notes to take. You know, there's no love letters you have to write to each other, which is hell for most men. That's why so many people hate going to these seminars. So what I do is I just make it fun. Mine's more like a stand-up comedy thing. Okay, I'm helping people. I'm getting information. But most of this is to overcome the male objection to relationships. Men don't want to be analyzed. Men don't want to have to go to college class for a weekend to take notes. Men don't have to sit there and write out their feelings on paper. Okay, you don't have to do that stuff. So if you get people laughing and not attacking men, then men will come. We're not helping couples by creating marriage seminars and marriage ministries that overwhelmingly appeal to women and are repulsive to men. And it's something we've got to adjust. So my whole thing, I call my whole ministry male-friendly. I spend more time trying to get women to understand men than men to understand women. So many people try to get men to understand women. It's an exercise in futility. You're never going to understand them. They're like cosmic beings from another planet, okay?
We got to keep talking about that. But I'm going to take a break right now. We'll be right back. Oh, dear. Mark Gunger, what a privilege to have him on our show. Roger, talk about the book, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, and then we're going to come right back, and we are going to talk about how do we understand men and how do we understand women. And he's going to unpack that for us on the backside. Roger?
Well, that's a good reminder, Jim, that we can understand women. So, guys, you're off the hook. No, actually, today on Homeward, this is a good conversation that we're hearing. Laughter and Joy, Keys to a Better Marriage with Mark Gunger, who brings a lot of laughter to the studio and also to his presentations and his writings. The book, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, is one that we highly recommend here at Homeward, and it's available wherever Christian books are sold. Also, Dr. Jim Burns has a couple of great books on marriage, Creating an Intimate Marriage, and also the devotional book he wrote with his wife, Kathy, called Closer. It's 52 faith conversations for couples to draw closer to God and to each other. For more information on Jim's books, you can order them directly from our online resource center at homeward.com. That's HOMEWORD.com. Check us out today if you're not there already. And now, back to Jim for part two.
Back. I'm Jim Burns. Incredible conversation today. Mark Gunger is with us. We're talking about laughter and joy and keys to a better marriage is what we're talking about. He's written a great book called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. It's actually a book I was reading on the bedstand last week, and then Kathy stole it, and she was looking at it as well and making some underlines and making comments on what I had underlined. So anyway, that means it's a good book. Yeah, you want a better marriage, you got to get to know the laws of what Mark calls marriage physics. And I think you got to laugh a lot as well. You know, you talked earlier in the broadcast about the law of marriage physics. And the first law was men and women are not created equal. Now, that's going to get some people to have their hair rise if they have any hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Unlike myself or you.
Exactly. That's why I'm on radio.
We have the perfect face for radio, folks. Yeah, it's a little of a hot button word, and I clarify it right away. What I mean is we're not the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Equal being the same.
Sure.
Men and women are not the same. What a shock, okay?
Right.
And we say, well, that's obvious. Really? Because I don't think it really is so obvious. I am convinced the number one reason that so many women are frustrated in their marriages, and by the way, Jim, 80% of all divorces in America today are being filed by women. It is the female culture that is going nuts. They cannot handle it anymore. What they've been sold and thought of as what the ideal marriage does not exist, and they've got these over-realized expectations, over-romanticized, even over-spiritualized expectations that aren't there. They're going crazy. The fundamental reason they are so angry at their husbands is for one overwhelming reason. They're not women. Bottom line. Now, that sounds very simplistic, but
it sounds chauvinistic as well.
It sounds very chauvinistic, but it's not. We're not women. The reason women get so angry, why do I have to ask him more than once? Why doesn't he notice things? What? Because he's a man, okay? How come he doesn't sense what I'm feeling and stuff? How come he doesn't pick up on the nuances? Because he's a man. It doesn't make us evil, wicked, broken perverts. It just makes us men. But see, she doesn't understand it because her sisters aren't that way. Her mom isn't that way. Her grandma's not that way. Well, guess what? He's not a girl. So I'm trying to get women to understand men. It's not that we're evil. We're just men. We think differently. We process differently. Again, but they look at it through their glasses that it's wrong. So many people have bought into the idea that to really help marriages, we need to make men more like women. And I reject that absolutely across the board. I don't think men need to be more like women to succeed in their marriage. And I totally disagree with the idea that women are far superior to relationships than men. Don't believe it in any way, shape, or form. No,
now,
I don't.
Don't you think that women are more emotionally connected to men?
Women are more emotional, emotive, more sensitive, but this does not make them superior. In fact, it becomes more problematic for them because they're picking up things or think they're picking up on things that oftentimes aren't there at all.
Yeah.
And it drives them crazy. So it doesn't make them better. And I'm not saying men are better than they are. I'm just saying we're different.
Now, you were talking about guys being different. And this drives Kathy crazy. And I was thought about it when I was reading your book. I'll sit on the chair after I've come home from work. And I'm not going to turn on the TV or whatever. I'm just sitting there. And then she says, well, what are you doing? I just said, well, nothing. She said, well, what are you thinking about? And I said, honestly, nothing. I'm just kind of sitting here. And she just gives me this look like, are you kidding me? Explain that.
This is a major point. In fact, of all the things that I share with at my seminar, and I think I'm brilliant, have all these ideas, the one thing that I get more from women that they say has changed their lives is when I teach them that men absolutely think about nothing. And they can't believe it. How can he think about nothing?
Well, men think about sex.
Or nothing. The University of Pennsylvania did a study, I don't know, 5 years ago, whatever it is now. They had guys hooked up all these wires. And they determined that men, in point of fact, what everybody always theorized anyway, is that men have the ability to literally think about nothing and still breathe. And women can understand it because their minds never stop. Their minds are constantly going, constantly going. So when a guy is sitting and relaxing, he is literally thinking about absolutely stinking nothing. And the wife comes up and says, what you thinking about? And he goes, nothing. Then she gets mad. Why? Because he's got to be holding out on me, right? Because why? My girlfriends would be. My mom would be, my grandma would be. He's not a girl, okay? Men literally sit and think about nothing is how we relax. We love thinking about nothing. Quite frankly, if women could do this, I think they'd be a lot healthier because their minds are always going. But it doesn't make us evil. See, immediately they assume there's something weird and nasty that we're doing. It's not true at all. We literally, when your husband is sitting there spacing out and he tells you he's thinking about nothing, he's telling you the honest-to-God truth. There's nothing going through his head, and he loves it.
Okay, I want to ask you another question then. I underline this out of the book. Men tend to communicate on the surface, and women tend to communicate below the surface. Unpack that one.
Men, we tend to say what we mean, and we mean what we say. Mm-hmm. It's very clear, okay? Again, why that is inferior to a woman. To me, that would seem superior to a woman's approach. A woman will speak under the surface. She'll say things, but she implies this. If a guy sees his woman's upset or thinks she might be upset, he'll ask, are you upset? And she'll go, no. And he'll think, great, she's not upset. Well, then she gets more mad, you know? Well, you said you weren't mad. Well, you should sense that I'm really, you know? So they're talking in these cosmic layers and stuff. It's one of the reasons, quite frankly, that so many women can't get along with other women. I mean, you get a lot of women together, it's like, wah! You know, and you can't understand. They're sitting there smiling, and then they'll walk away, and your wife will say, oh, that woman just irritated me. And you think, what? You just had a great conversation. No, she said I was fat. She never said any such thing. You know, yeah, she did. She meant that when she said. So they're talking in these cosmic layers and stuff. But men, we literally, if a man says ABC, he means literally ABC. Doesn't imply D, doesn't imply E, F, or G. That's why men, it's easier for men to get along and, quite frankly, build relationships. Now, here's the crazy thing. We're always told that women are superior at relationships. Well, the point of fact, men build stronger, more long-lasting relationships much faster than a woman ever will. Because you and I could get together two or three times and be the best of buds. We'll call each other. We'll hang out. It just happens like that. Women, trying to get them to connect and really become true friends with each other, will they really share their heart?
That's true. I understand that. And at the same time, Kathy's going to have deeper conversations with other women. You know, I'm going to stick to politics and sports and what about those Green Bay Packers because you're living in
Hallelujah.
Green Bay and whatnot. But, you know, there are times when I find in my own life, I'm in a small group on Tuesdays where I'm a better husband because I can share some of my feelings or my, and it's not easy. It, you know, it's taken us years to do that. Mm-hmm. But you're not saying that's bad for men to do.
No. And everybody's, we're talking in pretty broad stereotypes here. Men generally tend to be a certain way. Men, the reality is in our marriage, I'm the biggest girl in our marriage because I'm the one who's going to talk all through my feelings. Blah, blah. That's why I understand it.
Yeah.
My wife's like a guy, you know, just fix this, do that, da, 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 da. But it's unusual, okay? But there's always exceptions to any of these things.
Right.
But generally speaking, men tend to be pretty black and white and simplistic in their approach. They say what they mean what they say, and there's not a lot of hidden hints underneath.
Now, you say that wars usually start with misunderstanding, and wouldn't you say that a lot of marriages are just filled with lots of misunderstandings because we don't understand how a female thinks or how a male thinks?
Oh, yeah. And this is played on so many different ways. Here's a great example. Do you know men and women's eyeballs literally are different? A man's eyeballs are like little binoculars, and they focus, boom, boom, boom. And if our eye does not fall on exactly what we're looking for, we don't see it. Okay, whereas a woman's eyes, they're much more wide-angle lenses, and they are much more sensitive to detail. This is how a man could open up a cupboard and go, "Where's the salt?" And she'll go, "It's right in front of your face." And he'll go, "I can't see it." And she'll come over, and as if by magic, she pulls it out of nowhere. And then you go, okay, now that doesn't make women better than men or men. It just makes them different. But now take the other side. Again, stereotypes. But it's one of the reasons why, generally speaking, women can't read maps. Because when a man looks at a map, the minute he sees where he is and where he wants to go, all the other lines disappear to us, right?
Right.
Well, a woman opens up the map, she can't shut off the picture. She sees all the lines at once. And the guy's driving, he says to his wife, "Where are we?" "I don't know." "How can you not know where?" "I don't know." And I mean, they literally, it doesn't make men better than women, okay? It's just that we're different. And that's just a small example of the myriad of ways that men and women are different from each other. And what I'm trying to do is, I don't really try to change anybody. I'm not trying to make men into something they're not, nor am I trying to make women into something they're not. All I'm trying to do is say, hey, this is what women do. This is what men do. If you guys will understand it and quit over-romanticizing and quit over-spiritualizing, you'll be able to succeed more and live out your faith in your life.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. We don't have much time left, but, you know, men are different, women are different. You've done a great job of helping us understand that. Give us some hope, because, you know, there's some women out there. There's some, I'm married to Mars and I'm married to Venus, and I've got to somehow get connected here because we're drifting.
Yeah, but the answer isn't to change. See, everybody's trying to change her. It's one of the reasons so much of marriage counseling and marriage therapy today fails miserably. Do you know 80% of people who go in for marriage counseling end up in divorce? Can you imagine going to a doctor where 80% of the people came out dead? You know, why is it? Why do we fail so much? Because we're constantly trying to change people. Your wife complains about you in a certain way. I say, well, quit being that way. Or you shouldn't be that way. Jim, maybe why don't you try being this way? It doesn't work. It's not about trying to change people. It's trying to understand people. I'm trying to tell couples, if you can understand why your husband does what he does, why your wife does what she does, what motivates them at their heart, when you start understanding, it changes everything, while at the same time not changing them one bit. And it changes. But you don't know the why, then you're frustrated and you feel threatened by everything and everything's an attack and you're always on the defense and you're going at each other's throats.
Boy, that's incredible. Listen, we've got to keep talking. You got to come back next time because we've got so much to talk about.
Cool. All right. Looking forward to part two of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with author Mark Gunger here on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast. We're going to keep on talking about laughter and joy and why they are keys to a better marriage. Of course, Mark Gunger has written a great book on this topic called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, but sometimes that's not easy to do. Jim, in the closing moments of our time together, let's turn the spotlight on the Burns household for just a moment. Now, you and Kathy have what you call a high-maintenance marriage. There are definitely some differences in your marriage. Take the final moments here and talk about how you overcome those differences to achieve a certain level of joy.
Well, Roger, actually, Kathy and I are quite a bit alike. You know, we both like the beach. We both need structure in our life, you know, all these various things.
Big Laker fans, too.
Absolutely. Right. Big Laker fans. She's a lot prettier than I am, of course. But one of the things where we're different is I'm an extrovert, so I get my energy by being around people. Kathy is an introvert. She gets her energy by being alone. Now, that doesn't mean that she's not good with people, but she really is one of these one-on-one type of people.
Yeah.
I remember one time we were at a party when I was just learning about our differences, and it was just bugged me because Kathy was in the corner talking with this woman, and she spent the entire evening talking with one person. Well, there's 20, 30 people there, and I'm a little frustrated with her because I'm thinking, gosh, how rude. She's not talking with any of the other people.
Right.
I have had a shallow conversation with everybody.
Hi, how are you?
Right, exactly. And Kathy's had this what looks like a meaningful conversation or something, and I can see this woman is crying, and I'm going, oh my goodness, what's going on? So we get in the car, and I said to Kathy, kind of sarcastically, so did you get to meet everybody at the event? She says, no, I really didn't. I just talked with this one woman, and it was actually incredibly powerful. And so she started telling me about the conversation. What I realized was that in her introversion, she was thrilled just to have this conversation with one person. Didn't need to meet with everybody.
Yeah.
And for me, I was getting my energy by giving high fives and doing that. Well, what bugged me about Kathy is actually what also has drawn me toward her.
Mm.
And I think sometimes in a marriage, Mark was talking about this earlier, that we just have to understand that our differences actually are good things. We have to accept those differences, and actually our marriage will be stronger for it. And that's kind of the Kathy and Jim story of the day.
Well, those stories are so important, Jim, because I know they give us hope. Here's how this works in the real world, especially in the world of Jim and Kathy Burns. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. You can improve the quality of your marriage on a number of different levels, and even if your spouse isn't willing to dive in with, you know, head first or both feet or whatever euphemism you want to use, you can start making some positive changes today, and we encourage you to go to homeward.com. On the Get Answers section of our keyword search, just write in marriage, and you'll find a lot of different articles and tip sheets, information on Jim's books, and a whole lot more. You'll find that at homeward.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time for part two of our conversation on laughter and joy, keys to a better marriage, right here on Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.